Welcome to Goals Question Time, where I interview leading executives driving innovation, venturing, and strategic change.
So today for Goals Question Time, I've got the pleasure of being joined by Charlie, who's the founder and partner of iStart. And he'll help to describe what that is at the moment. And we're connecting through WeChat, which is one of the ubiquitous social media and communications platforms that happens in across China. So I'm joined across that on a speakerphone. So Charlie, very good to have you on the call.
Hey Andrew, it's nice to talk to you over the internet.
And across the good old sort of WeChat, and I think as we go through the interview and that today, we'll understand a bit more about the technologies and differences and that within China, Charlie. But maybe we could start off with an introduction about yourself first, please.
Okay, I was originally from China, and I left China early 1980s to study abroad. So I first went to UK and I studied at UCL. After working for multinationals in UK and in the US, I started to do my own startup business.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a number of companies, started again a number of different business, and eventually I took my company public. Uh-huh. So, early 2000, I came back to China to do investments, to put money into new startups, help people like me, starting their own ventures. So I've been doing the angel investments ever since.
Okay, that's great, and I think it's just a general point in that there for the listeners. I think the quantity and quality of returning entrepreneurs and investors now from the US and from Europe who are Chinese returning to China, I think it's one of the big drivers in that to the growth of the tech and the investment and that within China. Would you generally agree with that?
Absolutely. I think China has a big population. That's a foundation of everything happening. So there's so many young people left China for the West to study, and there's so many people coming back to China to start working for local companies as well as starting their own business. So there's just so many people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the foundation of everything here in China.
And about iStart, your the fund and the incubator, give us a brief introduction to that, please, in terms of the sorts of locations and amounts of monies you're deploying.
About 6 years ago, I started to manage RMB fund. And
so RMB is the Chinese currency, and that, of course, for those who don't necessarily know.
Yeah, and I think there's also a culture difference among the entrepreneurs. People in China like to get together, work together. So I think there's a need for space, especially designed for technology startups.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing a number of such spaces across China, and each space we host around about 50 companies at any time. So we have lots of events for the young CEOs, such as designing products, hiring good people, and raising money, and so all kind of programs for them to learn the necessary things for successful startup business.
Mm-hmm. and certainly the one that you've got in Minhang, which is the western part of Shanghai, I've been to a number of times and run programs there, and I could certainly say that the feel and the dynamic and the quality of the startups you've got there and the support you give them is fantastic, and I've been happy to support some of them there.
On your next returning to Shanghai, you probably will visit a new one that I'm actually building up, which is only like 5 minutes walk from the high-speed train station.
Yeah, and that's a fantastic transport hub there. I know the last time I was there, I took the train from Beijing down to Shanghai, which is less than 4 hours. A fantastic service and great transport hub there for to Shanghai, and then out to Hangzhou, of course, where Alibaba and Ant Financial are based, is less than an hour, and that from you now in that at that transport hub.
Yeah, the location is really convenient. Shanghai is on the east coast of China. It's also the distance between Shanghai to Beijing or Shanghai to Shenzhen is almost equal distance. So it's right in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent years, we've been seeing a lot of companies, startup companies from like Hangzhou, from Nanjing, from, you know, the place around Shanghai. So that's why our new location is just nearby the train station. So it's easy for people to, you know, have a one-day trip, mm-hmm. day trip to Shanghai and returning to their whatever home base in the same on the same day.
And the connected transport as well there, of course, you've got the airport, which has got a lot of flights around China and Asia and that there as well, which virtually connects and that with that transport hub.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Charlie, I think one of the things our listeners would be interested in hearing, and what I think is fascinating about the role of government in China, the central government with the, you know, the 5-year strategic plans, and China's now in its 13th plan, which drives around digitization, robotics, transport, etc., and the role of the provincial governments. I wonder if could you give us a bit of an insight into how those things affect your investments and your startups?
Sure. I think the economy in China is still very much controlled by the government and the state-owned enterprises. Unlike in, let's say, America, for example, most of the business, they're privately owned or owned by, you know, investors, owned by individuals, owned by, you know, stock market. Versus in China, the major business, railway, airports, all the major business, they're all owned by the government. So in that respect, the startup in China, that they're mostly in like consumer products or new technologies.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to touch the established traditional business. So that's why a lot of people feel the Chinese startup, the innovation is very active. I think part of business is they are squeezed to move to, you know, to the edge,
mm-hmm.
in all the all different industries. The core of the established business are owned by the government,
yeah,
by state-owned companies. So the space left for private sector, left for startups, are very much, you know, on the edge of you know, any business.
And those areas on the edge, though, as you say, are the leading edge now. It's you know, the social media, digital payments, robotics, drones. You know, I know the like the drone business you've got within your area, and the industrial Internet of Things businesses you've got within your ventures. Those things are driving the leading edge now of the electronics and data and new service models.
Right. Even like the automatic driving cars, electric cars, the state-owned automakers, they're still selling like 98% traditional cars. There's really no way for private companies to get into, you know, the mainstream of car making. All the new companies, startups, the only direction for them to go is to go either automatic driving or, you know, new energy car.
Yeah, and certainly when I was in Shanghai last time, or maybe the time before, earlier this year, I visited the NIO head office. That's NIO for the listeners,
yeah.
Which, as you know, is only started in 2014. But I think it's a fantastic example of a Chinese startup going global already, with its design center in Munich and its technology base out of California. But then the ability to scale and grow at speed has been phenomenal with that China backing of that, as you said, the Chinese startups very much at the leading edge, growing very rapidly.
Yeah.
So which sort of areas are you seeing China taking the lead in business, and where are you seeing the opportunities for longer-term collaborations and partnering?
Well, I can only say that myself.
Yep.
When we look at big data recently, there are lots of interesting companies doing big data and artificial intelligence, AI. And blockchain is also very hot here in China. You know, all these AI, blockchain, big data, all these kind of things are not 100% China-based. They are, I think the Chinese startups are starting to going global or international,
yep,
internationally in some to some extent.
Yeah, and I think the blockchain example, you know, when you and I were talking when I was last in China there, I think some of the reflections I'm seeing in the West or the applications are being put into place in a new way by the next generation of entrepreneurs and sort of startups in China that I'm not necessarily seeing here in Europe or even in the US. I'm seeing some different things, and you convinced me that there are things happening in China which are different. And I think it's a generational thing or a different way of thinking. Is that your perspective at the moment?
Yeah, I would say so. I think the other way is the financial services, the banking industry in China, strictly controlled by the government. So blockchain, I think, naturally became somewhere, you know, young people are I think dare to explore, and some of the very young people made tons of money. So they created sort of media phenomena.
Mm-hmm.
In the recent, I think since like probably the beginning of this year.
Yeah. And the moving on to sort of thinking about people, how they're so central to driving business and innovation and sort of venturing. We've touched on with your introduction how there's a lot of knowledge and capabilities coming back with where you've worked in startups or you've worked in investment outside of China. One of the areas I appreciate your input on, I hear a lot of people saying, oh, well, the Chinese, they just do rote learning and they're not that creative and some stuff like that. I think it's a misconception in the West a lot. What are you seeing? Are you seeing now that this dynamism, and have you got some examples of that dynamism and entrepreneurship and creativity are happening in China a lot?
I would say so. I think there are. I see this in like stages, like early 2000, for example. At that time, a lot of people were actually copying the U.S. model. So, such as like internet companies, like, you know, portals, news portals, emails, B2B commerce platforms, things like that.
Yeah.
And so this first wave, I would say, very much like, you know, caught or inspired by mostly, you know, American companies.
Yeah.
And there was a period, let's say, internet from like 2004 to, let's say, 2008 or 2010.
Yeah.
Before the mobile internet became the mainstream, the telecom companies, the telephone operators, they control all the mobile devices.
Yeah.
So for that period of time, lots of local companies created lots of we call SP applications. Service provider applications.
Okay.
They were very much locally, local cultural looted. Like, you know, games, quiz. And lots of people made money from doing so. And I think from 2010 to today, people are shifting from the U.S. model. I think China and the U.S. are two different beasts.
Yeah.
You know, country-wise, economy-wise, population-wise, they are, and ideology, they are very different. So both of they are very much, you know, dynamic. A lot of people thought China would probably go became, you know, America when the economy developed. You know, people get democracy, freedom, whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think China is going that direction. China is going its own direction on its own pace.
Yes.
I think the economy is not just the numbers or GDP. Economy is very much the social structure. So China and America, they're so different from each other. The result of the business growth and the startups, innovations, they're also very different.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I think certainly a reflection for me. I did a short video which I posted on UQ and on YouTube when I was in China previously, and I sort of described it as China's got a billion teenagers. Now, I don't mean that literally, but I mean it that they are acting and behaving around the mobile and the social media and their expectations of the internet and business models now. I think in China they're all acting like my 12 and 16 year old daughters, you know, the online, constantly on the mobile, the content, the social interaction, the mobile payments, the bicycle sharing, the sharing economy sort of type things. I think it's almost a generational type thing, and I think China's already in that phase. And what we're going to see with other countries, you know, emerging economies, growing economies, but then Western economies, the next level of expectation with teenagers is going to be that. And I think it's already there in China. It's already doing that thing. So it's, as you said, it's not necessarily going to be the model of we're all going to be like Americans. It's we're all going to be online teenagers or whatever that sort of analogy is. But it feels like China's already there or is trailblazing. Is that a fair view, or you got a perspective?
Yeah, very much so. Also for new generations, I think have played a really, really important role. I've been seeing new startups started by you know, like say one Chinese student, one Spanish student, one someone from Japan or Korea. So startups these days, there are international right. teams from day one.
Yeah.
And some of the people didn't have met with each other. They only meet on the internet, and they talked and started doing things, but they never physically meet each other.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting generation.
Fascinating. That's great, Charlie. I think great insights there on the macro scale regarding sort of China government and you know the trends and what's happening with startups. Could you give us a bit of what do you do when you're not when you're building these tech and investments? What are your interests?
I have lots of personal interests. So I travel a lot. I like traveling. I take photos. I've been taking photos since I was a baby. My father was a professional photographer, so I learned taking photos with traditional film cameras. Now I use digital cameras, so I travel a lot and taking thousands of photos. And I also, on my spare time, I invest into stories. So I talk with young people and give them money for them to travel and to come up with ideas for stories.
Fascinating. Yeah, and your photographs are absolutely fantastic. I follow you on your WeChat. On your WeChat yeah. moments and often commenting on the great pictures you've got from around the world of views and characters and people, and that's so fascinating. Charlie, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate your insights on that on Gaul's Question Time. Thank you.
You're welcome.